This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, I have a very special guest today. Eugenia Lovett West is, well, we're going to be celebrating her birthday. Is she on?
I'm here.
Hi.
I'm right here, Patsy.
Okay, Eugenia. Oh, it's so great to talk to you again. How are you?
Well, I am for 98 on I am really doing amazingly well, I'm happy to say. But it's been quite a year since we last talked.
Yeah. Well, we talked last year for your birthday, and I think we talked the year before that for your birthday. So This is fun. Wow, 98 years old, and you are such an amazing writer. When I tell people that at your age you wrote a book about cybercrime, and a darn good book, I tell you, that you know, people say, oh no, yeah, and I say, yes. They're inspired by you. I have so many listeners who have been inspired by you, people who say, you know, I'm 60 years old, and I thought I was too old to start writing. And I said, what? You can keep going and find the joy, right?
Absolutely. No, I never too late. I didn't start until I was, well, nearly 50, and it has been an absolute joy. I don't know what I would have done without it. And I'm still working on the second historical novel, which is fascinating because it's set in the American Revolution and you know, the founding fathers, and there's just so many parallels to what's going on today. So I am busy every day trying to grind out a few more pages on that.
Well, you know, of course, the first book in this your Revolutionary War, I don't know, it's not a series, but set in Revolutionary War, Sarah's War,
is
such a wonderful book. And I love how you are able to create the atmosphere and to bring us back in time for this fabulous story. So I'm looking forward to the next one. And, of course, that comes through research. And what I tell people is, you know, if you're somewhere along the line there became this mindset that, you know, you retire at 62 and you get Social Security and life is over and you don't have to use those brain cells anymore. You don't have to study. You don't have, you know. And that's the exact opposite. That's a time when you can just grasp life and do so many exciting things.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it's just doing the research for in American history is such a challenge, and this isn't exactly a sequel to Sarah. It's the next winter in Philadelphia, and I have a new heroine, Louisa, but there's an awful lot of there were a lot of spies and informers, and it was a very dangerous time. So, it's just fascinating.
And this, you know, it's we go to maybe Hercule Poirot, use those gray cells. We've got these gray cells. And the more that you study and learn, you fill these gray cells, you keep your mind active, and you become a more interesting person as you age.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I think that's true. And I hope that because people have been housebound a lot, I think books maybe have become more of a of an importance. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. The readers but I think people are even more in need of a good escape read.
Well, I think so. Somebody asked me, it's funny, just when I came in the studio, they asked me how I am, and I said, great. And they're like, well, how can you be good? What are you taking? You know, how? And I can say is, I was reading a good book this morning, and it put me in a wonderful mood. And that's, you know, it's so wonderful. Books can take you away. You know, we have this pandemic. I have to ask you, you know, what you think of this. But, you know, being able to read, pick up a book and go into another world, learn something new. And generally nowadays, I mean, you can read books about all sorts of disasters. They're not as bad as what we're living through. So it's a release.
No, I think that people, all your people who are your listeners who are writing, are doing a great service to if they can give people a little escape read, and that's what I'm always trying to do is to you know, my real goal is to have people feel that they're in that moment. It's challenging because, particularly this book, is very challenging because there weren't as many exciting things happened in the war, like George Washington and bleeding feet at Valley Forge and the British officers living it up in Philadelphia and turning the heads of all the little Tory girls. But so it's a this is, honestly, Patsy, this book is, I think, the hardest thing I've done because I have to upgrade my writing to make the characters more developed and add details. So this is a real challenge for me, this book.
Well, I admire you so much. And, you know, of course, Mary Higgins Clark kept going, you know, right up into the end, and she was so happy writing. She told me, you know, I would talk to her quite often, actually, and she would say, you know, I am so happy when I am writing. It's partly the research and partly just seeing those words and hoping that somebody will read the book and get that same feeling. And you bring that to your books. I want to mention particularly the Emma Street series because I love that. Again, it's a book where a series where you have somebody who's interesting, who does something interesting, and I think a lot of it comes from your travels that you make them so realistic. The books.
Well, they did. They did. In the Emma Street series, I really fell back on places that I'd been with my husband, who was, traveled on business, but he was a CEO, and we traveled pretty good style and stayed at the best hotels and that. So it. So Emma. Does traveling in a pretty high end way, and but I kind of Emma's sort of on the back burner right now, and I'm more into the historical because doing the research is so interesting. You know, you're just learning so much about the founding fathers and how we really this country came so perilously close to not becoming a democracy and or a republic.
It's almost frightening sometimes when you realize how very close it was that things could have just completely fallen apart and who knows what would have happened. What with the Britain wanting part of it and France and everybody, you know, breaking up. We were really very, very fortunate that we had those people who kept it together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very fortunate. And but it was a very very dangerous, divided time. And people, you know, for their beliefs of what they, their politics, you know, you could be hung in the public square on sort of false accusations of treason. So, anyhow, it's just going back, and history is just very important, very important.
Well, now, speaking of history, you've seen a lot of history. You know, for people, you know, it's hard sometimes to imagine that you saw so much. Of course, you were married during World War II. Does it still feel fresh in your mind? I mean, can you know what the excitement of that day when you got married?
Oh, very fresh in my mind, and yeah, I have seen a lot of history, and so many changes. I was just thinking today, what did we do when I was young in the 30s and whatnot? We didn't have television. We listened to a few radio shows, you know, The Lone Ranger. And didn't have television until my children were little. And then, thank God for the Mickey Mouse hour at 5 o'clock. And now, of course, there's just incredible amount of entertainment available. So I think that's a huge change that I've noticed over the years, and a big change in the publishing world too.
You know, I was just reading recently a book, and it had never sunk into me that the French women didn't get to vote until 1945. They,
really?
You know, it was so late. I thought, you know, it happened earlier here in America. You know, we just celebrated the 100th year, you know, 1920. You've seen a big change in the life of women.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, do you want me to go back a little bit?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, when I was... when I got married, because I did have a small career until I got married. I worked at Harper's Bazaar for a little bit, and I worked for the American Red Cross, you know, during the war. But when I got married and started to have children, I mean, there were no friends that were lawyers or in finance. I mean, we were all just, you know, young people having puppies, sort of, and the husbands did all the brought in all the monies, and that's been can you imagine what a change that is?
A big change, a big change. And you know, the thing is, when you raised your kids, you're finding yourself in a different, you know, encouraging them to have a different outlook on the future.
Oh, yes. I mean, my children, totally different, and my grandchildren, of course. You know, everybody carving out a career, you know, boys, girls, everybody is into something. You know, women, I mean, particularly. So I just celebrate that. I think it's incredibly wonderful that the change in what women have achieved since I was in my 30s or late 20s. It's I mean, we have our problems, but there's a lot of interesting things have developed.
Well, let's pick a few dates. Do you remember where you were on Pearl Harbor?
Oh, I do. I do.
Tell us about that.
Well, it sounds very grand, but I was in there was sort of a house party in a big house on Fifth Avenue, and I guess I had a Yale date, and we were all sitting in the library, on a Sunday night, and the radio came on and announcing Pearl Harbor, and all the guys, they were all in the Naval Reserve, you know, sort of ROTC, I guess you'd call it, and everybody, they knew they would be going to war. That's where I was. It was we knew right then that the men would be called up.
Now, had you been paying attention to the war in Europe before that? Were you concerned about that?
I don't think so. I was at Sarah Lawrence College, and I was I'm sorry to say, I was more interested in having a good time than I was in anything else. But that Pearl Harbor, I think, brought my generation up with a big pull. You know, we knew there was going to be big change.
And where did you meet your husband?
I met my husband at a square dance in New Hampshire, where I've gone every summer since I was 2 years old, and his family also were up there. And we met at a square dance. It was one of those John Paul Joneses where when the music stops, you have to dance with a person sort of facing you, and we sort of faced each other and danced, and I thought very little of him. I thought, this guy's just full of himself. He's not wearing shoes. It took us a while. It took us a couple of years to get to the point where, we decided to cast our lot together.
Now, of course, he was a pilot. What was that like when he left for Europe? He was in the European.
He was a fighter pilot. Very dashing, believe me, very dashing. And, it was towards the end of the war. We were married in, 44, so it was coming to a close, but we went down for the last part of his training in Fort Myers, Florida, which near you.
Yeah.
And then he went over to England to the 8th Air Force, and he flew a couple of missions, and... But then he was, he wasn't gone more than 6 or 7 months. So it wasn't, I didn't have the years and years of agonizing. It was.
Well, it was good that the war in Europe was over and he didn't land up going to the other side of the world.
Oh, right. No, that VJ Day was huge. And, Patsy, I'm telling you my whole life story here. But when we were married, we were both 20. He was a dropped freshman at Harvard. Our families were horrified. They said that, this is never going to last. And we were married for 60 years. So, we proved them wrong.
I think it worked out. And of course, as you talked before about traveling in Europe, what were your favorite hotels? What were some of your favorite hotels in London and Paris? And what do you?
Oh, well, let's see. I loved the Hotel de Berg in Geneva. I'm trying to think. Which ones? The Grosvenor Hotel in London. But there was a company flat, so we didn't. We had a lovely time in London, but they had a company flat, so we didn't much stay in hotels. But it was a lot of entertaining, a lot of high end. and I didn't start to write until my youngest child was in school, and then I did some newspaper work, which is great training, of course, and then I sort of thought, well, why do I spend all my time writing, covering the, you know, sewage disposal meeting on Tuesday night? So I started, you know, I did 300 pages and sent them off, and it was absolute trash, of course, total trash. But the second one did get picked up by Doubleday, and that was sort of the start of. But I was certainly was into my, you know, well into my middle age by the time I started. But oh my gosh, what a blessing! What a blessing!
Well, that's what I talk about. That's why I named this program "Joy on Paper," because seeing your words on paper really is a joy, and to know that they will be read. And the nice thing, you know, with your books, particularly the Sarah's War and the new book coming out, when it's set in the Revolutionary War, people will be reading about the Revolutionary War, you know, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, on Mars, maybe in a, you know, on a people will still be interested in learning about the Revolutionary War. And I think so it's wonderful way to learn history is through a book like yours, because you tell a story, there's a romance, there's intrigue and factual, you know, real guts to the books that I think will keep them going. 200 years from now, people will be reading your books.
Well, that's very heartwarming thought, Patsy. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, as I said, you are an inspiration, and I hope that, you know, my listeners out there will understand that they just have to try, because you don't know what you're capable of until you try.
Absolutely. You have to, I sort of say, 90% of your applying the seat of the pants to the seat of a chair, like it or not, and it takes a little while to find your voice, to, you know, get your style, but, and it has to be somewhat of a priority, but the rewards are huge. You're never bored because you've always got something that you have to be working about or creating.
Well, you have, we hear that phrase, age gracefully. I think you have, everybody in life has had tragedies. You know, you lost your husband, but you were lucky that you had him for 60 years. What's your advice to people in general about just in be like you at your age, still looking forward and being, you know, productive?
Well, if I had to give advice, I would say now at this point, I think you live each day with appreciation, but even if you're much younger, it's important, very important to reach out to the people you love, and whether you're old or young, you know, reach out and appreciate people and appreciate the fact that, you know, if you're lucky enough to, you know, be in pretty good health,
Enjoy it. Enjoy it as much as you can, right?
Right, absolutely. But and I think thankfulness too. I mean, I'm extremely thankful for all the good things that have come my way. And but it's reaching out. It's reaching to people, and you know, you can go into all the medical stuff.
You know, I want to really thank you so much for joining us today on this, you know, to celebrate your birthday. You'll be back next year to celebrate the next one with a new book by then. But before you leave, we want to play something for you. And just to say again, Eugenia Lovett West, her books are available on Amazon, and I don't know if there are bookstores anymore anywhere. And I highly recommend Sarah's War. It's a wonderful book. And then Overkill, which it's a sequel to the other book, Without Warning, and a great book. Both books, all three books are wonderful, and they just have to look up Eugenia Lovett West. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. And here, we're going to play a little song for you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Patsy, so much. What a pleasure.
Oh, you're a joy. Here's a song for you.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back with my next guest, and she was here recently, and actually she's back sort of by popular demand because I had many listeners who wrote in to me afterwards and over the past few months and saying they've tried some of her suggestions. So I am so happy to welcome back Kimberly Friedmutter, and her book is called Subconscious Power: Use Your Inner Mind to Create the Life You've Always Wanted. Hi, Kimberly.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Well, good morning. During this pandemic period, people have been some people have been losing their mind, and one of my listeners said, "I don't know if I have any mind, subconscious, conscious. I don't know what I'm doing anymore." So I thought, well, that's a good time to bring you back, and perhaps you can help people find their subconscious mind. How about that?
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. And in fact, you know, the book came out in the perfect timing because little did we know when it first came out in hardcover, you know, what we'd be faced with for 2020. But I'm here to say that just like all of us, you know, have gone inside, for lack of a better way of explaining it, for 2020, that really is where all of the nuggets are. That's where all the gold is deep inside of us. And, you know, just to remind listeners that the conscious mind is that task maker and the doer, which is that obvious critical mind that we're so familiar with, but the subconscious is that level of mind just below the consciousness, but which is really responsible for everything we do. So who we are is the subconscious, and what we do would be your consciousness. So, you know, the you inside of you that gives you your personality and your hopes and your dreams and all of those things. And likewise, also the part of you that gets very nervous and very scared, you know, when things like a pandemic arise. So, and I'm certain that this won't be our first and last and, you know, all of that kind of thing as far as things that we have to get used to and things that we have to pivot for. And so my hope with the book, and now it's out in paperback, luckily, so it's super easy to grab and it's available on Audible and all that. But the point being is that now that we have learned, you know, the hard way that we need to pivot, this book is really, really great about explaining how to do that easily. Because again, we don't need one more thing to do. We need more like 1,000 less things to do. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, that's true. You know, when I've been talking to my listeners, and so many of them are writers, they have been, actually, some of them have said in the past, they wanted more time to write. You know, they wanted less distractions. And now that they find they have no distractions, they find they can't write. They're like, they're not sure. They're doing like research or they're checking things out, but they're not, they feel like they're not being productive. And they're wondering what happened to them. How did that happen? That all, like, for years, I mean, many of them said, you know, I was so tired of, you know, running around and doing this and doing that. And now I have all these hours in the day to write, but I'm not actually being productive as a writer.
Right. And so what's happened is, yes, we have time, but we don't have our attention on it. You know, when your body, when something comes like this, where it's saying run, and then at the same time, the impulse is, but you can't run, you need to stay in and hunker down. So we're getting two very mixed messages from our mind. So normally when there's trouble, like fire or divorce or sickness, you know, the impulse is to run away from danger, right? But you can't run out, you can't run anywhere, you're supposed to hunker down. And so that hunkering down does take a tremendous amount of attention. You know, when we think of, oh, we had nothing to do, we actually had everything to do. We needed to get ourselves healthy. We needed to stay strong, you know, mentally and physically. We needed to keep everybody in the house, you know, leveling up and staying buoyant. We needed to strategize what's our next move. You know, remember, it wasn't that long ago where we're listening every single day to your local governor, you're listening to your local mayor, you're listening to the president on the television, you know, you're listening to all the medical, CDC, everybody, you know, we were constantly taking in this information. So it wasn't a time for a lot of output. So I want to give people listening a break on that, because it was a time where we were taking in information. We were receivers of information. Very important to know, you weren't doing nothing, you were processing. And when you're processing, you're not ready to put out, you know, you're not ready to deliver, you're not ready to exude. And so please don't feel bad about that, because, you know, everyone in the world was that way. So we were all in it together. Now, on the other hand, we're experiencing this emergence. We're ready. You know, I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and they just announced that the hotels are going to start opening up 24/7 again. You know, they were closed during the week. And I raise that point because we have a lot of performers here in this town. We have a lot of people who are used to putting out resource and information, and, you know, you just couldn't do it before. So now we are in this period of emergence, and in that emergence is now where you can take all of that information that you took in. It's all processed. It's all in there, ready to be transformative in whatever way you put it out.
Well, you know, I just to remind my listeners, the ones who don't remember or who weren't listening to the first show, that, you know, you are trained in hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming. How does that help people in their everyday life? How can, you know, most people can't I'm sure, afford you. So somebody said to me, well, it's nice if you know, of course, you work with so many famous people. But so they're worried. They're saying, how can this help me? Because I can't afford to be hypnotized. I can't afford, you know, to take the time and, you know, go to a hypnotherapist. How can I do it myself? Or how can I find some strength? Because one person, and this is funny, I don't go out that much. None of us go out that much. But I happened to be somewhere. I had to go somewhere. And I ran into somebody, a friend, a writer, and she's read your book. And she said to me, there's an exercise in there. Write down something. I remember now. The person you admire. And she said, I don't admire anybody. I sort of felt really bad. I said, well, you know, there must be somebody, you know. I mean, I probably would put my father at the top of the list, you know. So I was so shocked. I was so shocked that she didn't admire. I said, so I was like sort of mumbling, there must be somebody like.
Yeah, writer. Oh yeah, lost
no,
my word.
She's like, no, I don't admire anybody anymore. And I thought, that's not good.
Right, right. So what's happened is she's just lost some of her resources. What we do is, you know, we do take it literally. So if she were in my office, I would say, think harder. You know, I know that you're brilliant. I know you can come up with someone, you know, SquarePants, SpongeBob, or whatever his name is, you know, Elmo, I don't know. You know, do you admire his beautiful yellow spongy color? You know, whatever. You can always get to it. But the point to answer your earlier question is that the book does teach you how to self-hypnotize. It's the easiest thing in the world. In fact, we're all hypnotized all the time anyway. You know, looking at our devices, I mean, you think people walking off the mountain's edge, looking down at their phone or crossing into traffic, you know, not paying attention where they are. That's all that zoning out, which is really, really good in the sense that that's the right part of the mind to be working with, especially now. You know, when you're low on resources, you reach out. The best way to reach out is to daydream, and that's that zoning out period. You know, we're taught when we're young to keep our focus in the room and to not daydream. You know, how many times do they say, you know, Johnny, get your attention back in the room, pay attention. Paying attention is a very little return most of the time. The information that we're searching for and seeking for is out there. That's those aha moments, those epiphanies, that next strategy. Another great little way to get information from outside is to jot down, before you go to bed, jot down with pen and paper next to the bedside anything that you need solutions for, questions to, you have quandaries about, anything that you have a problem that needs resolving. Write that down on a piece of paper next to your bedside. That's a conscious subconscious integration. While you're sleeping, your subconscious will work like crazy just to get those answers for you. You know, she's a task maker. She and he, your inner subconscious, loves to solve problems. And so give it over to your subconscious mind while you're sleeping, and then that'll also keep you out of like disturbing nightmares or, you know, kind of crazy technicolor dreams, things like that that people with sleeplessness or sleep disorders experience. You know, the book is full of these super quick hacks. The one that you were talking about that your friend was speaking of, it's a self-appreciation exercise, and it's really, really, really beneficial. And basically what you do is you think of this person that you admire, and it can be for anything. It doesn't have to be for, you know, Pulitzer Prize. It can be because they smile when things are bad. It could be because they lived a nice long life. It could be something kind they did for you. It can be the smallest, smallest thing. And I would say that this friend needed this exercise more than ever because of how this played out. But what you do is you start to write down the few things that you admire about this person. It doesn't have to be long. And you write, dear so-and-so, let's say Susan, dear Susan. And then you write down, I admire you because d-d-d-d-d-d-d. And then you write, love yourself, sign your name. And then you take your dear Susan, and you cross that out and you write your name there and you read it out loud. The reason we do this is because when you recognize, and I want your friend, if she's listening, to hear this, when you recognize that glory or that beauty or that trait in another that's positive, it's because you yourself possess it. It's only recognizable to you because you know that one. You follow? So what she's really saying in part is that she doesn't recognize it in herself. She's tapped out. In which case, I would send her to the chapter about drought. And drought is when our cup is empty. Drought is when we're in lack. Drought is when there is no water to draw from, no resource. And I would draw her over to that chapter so that she could see how to fill her cup back up again. Because you can only see the greatness in others when you have that yourself. That whole exercise is to flip it back on you so you can have a moment of self-appreciation.
Well, you have in the book, you have these different little segments called hypnotic hack and little exercises that are a helpful way to get in contact with yourself and with your mind. I've been trying some of them myself. And, you know, it's so difficult sometimes to know if you're getting better, you know, if you're, I did understand what she was saying. I think with her and with many people, of course, what you mentioned, everybody was listening to the televisions or listening to the news, and maybe none of those people were too admirable. I don't know, but people became overwhelmed by it, and. I think this feeling of helplessness, but as you say in your book, you're not helpless. You just have to figure out where to start.
Well, yes. And so here's the thing is that when you put yourself in a position, as most of us were, unable to escape COVID and the idea of COVID and the sound of COVID and the discussions around COVID and all of that, and still to this day, you know, dominates our news cycle. Here's the thing, is that's fine, except for there are places where you can go that you don't have to listen to it. There are resources that you can turn your attention to where you don't have to focus and dwell. Yes, pay attention, because it's life-saving to do so, of course. But the difference of now is we're in this emergence. We are re-emerging out of it. So there are these beautiful little sparks of things going on in the world that have nothing to do with COVID. And so the book explains how to pivot your attention from something like that. I mean, that was the most dominance or the biggest dominance of attention on a bigger, you know, group of population, the entire planet, for the longest period of time. I mean, it really was the trifecta for attention grabbers of all time. I mean, it was the mother of all attention grabbers. And so now, because we have the ability to look elsewhere, we have the ability to look forward, we have the ability to pivot and flex out of it, let's do so. And so the book definitely explains how to change your attention, because newsflash, you know, things are happening all over the world to each of us. And, you know, my darkness isn't at the time your darkness is. Your darkness isn't at the time your friend's darkness is. So everyone's experiencing their different levels of darkness at different times. And the whole idea of the book is that you have it inside of you to get out of it. You have that resource. Now, I'm not selling you a subconscious mind. You have it. It's like maps is, you know, the way that people get from place to place in their vehicles, right? To have the directions laid out for them. We already have that internal guidance system deep within us, and it's not inaccessible. And women don't, didn't coin the term women's intuition. Everybody has it. Men have it. Everyone has it. And we have it to different degrees, kind of if you lose it or if you use it, if you don't use it, you lose it. And it's like a muscle where you exercise it and it gets better. I mean, that sense of intuition, we all know. If I just said, think of the last time you had a primal gut instinct, what would it be? And you might say, oh my gosh, I thought I needed to call my sister or my mother or my aunt. And then you did it and you were absolutely right. They were in stress or needed to tell you something or whatever. Those primal intuitions and gut intuitions are yours for a reason. That's your internal GPS. I challenge everybody to take 1 week and follow those gut impulses, whether it's in business, relationship, whatever it is, even if it's just relationship to yourself. Follow those impulses and see what kind of a week you have. Then you add all these experiences up in an entire book, and you've got a lifetime that will serve you. The whole idea of this book was to give you 1,000 less things to do. There's an easier path than we're living it right now consciously.
Now, you, one of the things in the book, you have sort of the six principles, and one of the ones that I found intriguing was this idea of give to get. Can you explain that? Because that is fascinating.
Yes. So it really speaks to the natural law of reciprocity. If I, like, let's just take now, for example, like I'm getting to talk to you and the give is my time. I'm getting information from you and the give is my time and giving information to you. We're in this energetic system of reciprocity. I get, you give, I get. You see how it flows? We both walk away from this experience or transaction or however you want to look at it as full individuals having given and gotten from the experience. When you're coy, and women are the masters of this, I'm good, I don't need anything. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you know you do. The honesty is that we all need something from something. The honesty is that we all give something for something. I mean, that's the honesty. Even the United States government gives you for your philanthropic, you know, because you could argue the fact, well, what about, you know, giving either dollars for charity or time in charity? There's two gets with that. One is the United States government recognizes the law of reciprocity and gives you a write-off for your charitable donations and contributions. Secondly, is you feel better when you're charitable, right? So that's a give. That's a huge give, you know, an experiential give and get. So you see that cycle. If you and I, just to put it in practical physical terms, if you and I held hands, both had, you know, holding each other's hands right now, both of them, we would create this circuit of energy. If I let go and you let go, then it just drains through us. And what happens when that happens is overgivers, overgetters, resentment. You know, it starts to get mired in something that's not honest and not truthful. So when I engage in a action reaction with another person, I do think I'm going to be giving this. What do I want to get? And I want them to be thinking they're going to be getting this. What do they want to give? You see, it's like even the dying tomato plant. So the plant is stable. The tomato grows. It falls off the vine. It starts to, you know, enjoy necrosis, a very normal part of living. It starts to necrotize, and it provides fertilizer for that plant. I mean, even in death, nature has a purpose, you see. So it's a law of reciprocity. I didn't make it up. I didn't create it. It's going to make you feel so good when you do it, because you're going to feel clean. You're going to feel transparent. You're going to feel honest.
And it's all in your book, Subconscious Power. And one of the nice things that at the end, you have a chapter about taking care of your body and the importance of that, the respect for your body. Why'd you include that in the book?
Well, now more than ever, because a healthy mind does need support. It needs nutritional support. And, you know, we've seen, I mean, of all the horrible things that COVID brought upon us, the thing that I think we'll walk away with is that physical health matters. It just does. And the more on top of your subconscious mind you are, the more attracted to fresh foods, vegetables, things that come from the earth are to you. The if you imagine like a group of monkeys and they're just kind of mindlessly grabbing at things, right? They're just mindlessly shoving things in. They're not giving it any thought. Therefore, they're not getting the benefit. If you imagine, you know, the smarter monkey that goes over and he sees fruit and he inspects it and he looks at it and there's a reverence to it. You know, there's something very beautiful about feeding yourself. You know, the body is just the body of the train, and the mind would be like the conductor, right? So we're going where the mind says. A sharp mind wants sharp food. A sharp body has had sharp food. And by that, I mean whole foods, things that come from the earth. You know, we've been, talk about hypnotized. We've been hypnotized, mesmerized, and entranced by, you know, every ad that you see, you know, every flaming burger on a bun, you know, everything that we see that we're enticed and entranced by, I want more, I want more. I mean, think of the trance of that. Trance is a natural state for us. So make sure you check who's your hypnotist. Are you hypnotized by you know, crazy ads and flashing colors and, you know, impulse foods? Or are you hypnotized by feeling good? And are you hypnotized by wanting to perform and go the long distance and have this bright, brilliant mind?
Well, I think it's a fascinating book. And I want to just add one other part in it that I really like, that discover the one bowl experience, because I've been doing that for years now. I think that's such a good idea, and that's towards the back of the book. So people, it's just a sort of, I like that idea.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and thank you for mentioning that, because what happens is I don't just say, oh, eat healthy food. I show you how to do it.
Exactly.
I show you how to give reverence to your food. I show you how to slow you down. I show you from step one, from the very first page of that book, I explain the level of accountability, how to tap into your subconscious power, judgment of others, who's good for you in the short term, midterm, long term. I mean, I really go through the steps, and it's got so many great quick exercises, as you call them, hacks, and they're literally right there.
Actually,
I call them hacks.
Well, I'm running yeah. out of time. I do want to tell people to go to your website. I love your website. I've watched it. It's mesmerizing. That's mesmerizing.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great.
Yeah, KimberlyFriedmeter.com.
It's so cool. I send people there. I just say go look at that website. It's so good. It's so good. Because one time I have to have you on so we can talk about all of the other exciting things in your life from the time that you started modeling at the age, I think, of 14 or 15. You've done so many fascinating things in your life. So another time perhaps we'll come on and have a little bit more in-depth about you. But Kimberly Friedmutter, I just wanted to have you back to talk to people and to encourage people that there is hope for this 2021, and the book is called Subconscious Power. Again, thank you so much for being on the show, Kimberly.
You are so welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. And we'll have you back, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye now. All right. You know, as I said, I don't usually bring people back right away. She was here a few months ago. But after I had the book for a while and I was playing around with it, and there's a lot of things in there that, you know, it sort of struck a nerve with me. I thought, well, yeah, I was practicing things, and, you know, you can always improve, and we need during this time, I don't know. The months have sort of all gone, everybody's sort of haywire, if you ask me. People don't know sometimes what month it is. It's hard to believe that it's February, it's almost March, and we've been going through this for a year. But anyway, as I, you know, I just, you can get out of some of it just by sitting down and reading or writing. Because remember, one of the things I always tell you is that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. And I am looking forward to hearing whether or not the Jack Reacher series is finally going to start streaming. They started filming, then they stopped filming, they started filming. And I'm going to talk to Andrew Grant or Andrew Child or whatever he's calling himself today. I call him Drew, and find out when is that series going to start. But meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. He saluted me. I saluted him. I feel like being a general. I've been reading a lot about the Korean War. I wish I had been a general. I would have really handled that thing differently. Anyway, everybody, bye-bye now. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.
No. WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.